Good morning. Scripture reading for today's sermon will be 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you on an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it does seem like a long time since we have been in 2 Peter. Before the Christmas holiday, you might remember that we began a series in 2 Peter called Don't Stop Believing. It was interrupted briefly by a few Christmas messages and then a New Year's message, and now we are back in 2 Peter where we left off in verse 5. And last time we were in 2 Peter, if you recall, and perhaps you don't, so let me refresh your memory, we talked about living while saved. You remember that? Living while saved, according to God's promises and according to God's power. And we said that we understood that the first step is getting saved, but getting saved is just the first step. After you get saved, you and I have to learn to live saved. And we live saved while working at Delta. Isn't that right, Brother Jesse? That's what we got to do. We got to live saved while we're working at Delta. We got to live saved while we're working at Chick-fil-A. And that's harder than you think. We gotta live saved while we're working in Fulton County public school systems. Amen. Amen. We got to live saved while we're married. We got to live saved single in Atlanta. You gotta live saved driving around 285. We understand that living saved is not easy. And in fact, apart from God's resources and apart from God's direction, it is impossible. Amen. And that is why we quoted Augustine last time, right? When he said, Lord, command what you will, and Lord, grant what you command. The Lord commands us to live saved. We saw last week that we saw last time we were in 2 Peter that he grants us the power and the promises to fulfill his command. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, the Lord has done just that, right? The Bible tells us that through his power and his promises, God has granted to us, God has given to us all things necessary and all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, for a fruitful and a faithful Christian life, all the pieces are in the box. There are no pieces missing, remember? And now you and I just have to make sure that we read the directions as we're putting that life together. This morning, as we continue in 2 Peter, and we learn a little bit more about putting the pieces together, where they fit, and what it should look like. You know, the first part of our message was living while saved, God's power and promises. And this message this morning is living while saved, your faith and your fruitfulness. You need God's power and you need God's promises. But that leads to your faith and your fruitfulness. Notice how our text begins this morning in verse 5. All right? The Bible says, for this very reason. In other words, in view of these things. What things? These are the things that we talked about last time, right? For this very reason, in view of these things, in view of the fact that you have God's power, in view of the fact that you have God's promises, in view of the fact that you have God's provisions. I remember. Peter has already reminded us in this text that we have been given, that we have been fittingly and fully supplied with all the pieces necessary to put together a life of praise and glory to God. In fact, God has provided for you the single most important element of that godly life, the foundation of that godly life, and that is faith. Faith. We all, if you are a Christian this morning, if you are a true Christian this morning, then you have been given faith. And you say, well, how much? Enough. You have been given enough. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Bible reminds us that we have been given, that we have been gifted the measure of faith, each of us. The necessary measure of faith upon which to build a Christian, godly, faithful, fruitful life. And we know that we have been given this because Peter told us in verse 1, right? If you remember, chapter 2, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, that we have obtained this faith that is like that of the apostles. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 reminds us, right, that faith is a gift that we all have received. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29 tells us that faith has been granted unto us. That believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ has been granted to us. And therefore, over and over again, the Bible is reminding us, and even here, that God has given us the foundation for a godly, faithful, fruitful Christian life, and that foundation is faith. And then he provided not just the faith, provided the power, and he provided his promises. Now you need to ask yourself the question, what happens when God's power and God's promises are welded together with your faith? What happens when God's power and God's promises are then welded together with your faith? Now, it's interesting, even though God gave it to you, notice the Bible calls it now yours. Okay? God has gifted you the faith, and now it is yours. And your faith, when welded together with His power and His promises, you have something upon which to build. And now you have to build upon it. Faith is a gift that God gives to you. He gives you the foundation of the house. He gives you all the tools. He gives you all the resources. He gives you all the lumber. He gives you everything you need. He says, here's the instructions. Build it. Build it. Belongs to you. Build on it. That's what it says, right? Verse 5, chapter 1. Make every effort. Hello. You make every effort. Be zealous. Be earnest. Be diligent to supplement your faith. To build upon that faith. What does supplement mean? We know what supplement means, don't we? We know what supplement means. We know what illegal supplements mean. But these are spiritual supplements. These supplements are those things that enhance, right? They enhance, they strengthen, they grow. We're talking about those things that enhance and strengthen and grow our faith. Like we do our bodies with vitamins and exercise. How many of us can testify this morning that you just don't wake up one morning and suddenly get in shape? Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. I'm here to tell you, you can't pray yourself in shape either. No, you got to get up and make an effort. You have to work at it. And likewise, beloved, you don't just wake up one morning and suddenly you are growing in your faith. You have to make every effort to supply your faith with these necessary supplements. You don't sit on your faith. God has given you a faith, and now He says, don't sit on it. Don't let your faith get out of shape. I have spoken with people time again. I've spoken with some of you who talk about how excited you used to be about the things of God and how fervent and on fire that you used to be, but now it just seems like your faith is flabby. And your faith is bland. You've let your faith get out of shape. You have failed to add the proper seasonings and ingredients to faith. You know, the Bible is fond of this. The Bible is fond. You can't blame the Word of God, because the Word of God is fond of giving you lists of supplements. I mean, the Bible is just full of vitamins for your faith, beloved. You know, these ingredients, these spiritual supplements, these vitamins. And the list that Peter gives, his is not an exhaustive list. You see these lists in other places. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 through 5, the Bible says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit, do we not? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. In Colossians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 12, the Bible says you ought to put on these things, these vitamins, these supplements. And so here, Peter has his list. And this listing is not unique to 2 Peter, as we've seen. However, Peter adds that these are the things that add flavor. That these are the things that add vitality to our faith. And here we see the Apostle Peter's formula for spiritual growth. Verse 5. Make every effort, he says, to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Here we have seven supplements. But the Word of God says that you and I must be adding to our faith. Adding to our faith. To make sure that our faith is growing. To make sure that our faith has vitality. To make sure that our faith is in shape. To make sure that our faith doesn't lose its flavor. And the first one, he says, is virtue. Or moral goodness. Or even a better word is excellence. In other words, he says, add to your faith the willingness to do your best to be who you say you are. Beloved, we are not perfect, far from it, but there needs to be a sense in which you are striving to be better. Add to your faith the desire to be better. Lord, get up and say, Lord, I want to be better today. I want to exemplify that excellence that you have placed down in me. I want to be better today. Don't give up on being good, beloved. Don't give up on being good. I don't care how imperfect you may have been yesterday. Today is a day where you can be better. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. All it says right here is saying a Christian should be a Christian. Just be a Christian. When people encounter you, they should be encountering a Christian. What makes for a good knife? A good knife is a sharp knife. So that when you pick that knife up, that knife is a knife. And that knife does what a knife does. It's not dull. When I get up in the morning, all I ask my car to do is to start. Just be a car. I put gas in there. I've changed the oil. You just start and be a good car. All the Lord is asking you to do is be a Christian. When people encounter you, be a Christian. Adrian Rogers once said, never tell people you're a preacher. But if they find out, make sure it's not a surprise. That's all, beloved. You ain't got to go around proclaiming the fact that you are a Christian. But when they find out, don't let it shock them. Add that every day. I just want to be better. I want to be better. Add to your faith virtue, that excellency, and to that excellence, knowledge. Knowledge. A growing understanding of Jesus. Beloved, understand when the Bible says knowledge here, it is not necessarily talking about book knowledge. It is not necessarily talking about gaining degrees. You don't have to be gaining degrees in order to be adding knowledge to your faith. It is the growing understanding rather of right from wrong. It's a growing understanding of light from darkness. You don't have to have a PhD to know and to understand what the will of God is. It is seeking to add knowledge and understanding to a life. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the smartest one in the room. It just means that you are seeking every day to be more mature than you were yesterday. That you are availing yourself to those things that are growing you in your understanding of who Jesus is. There's not a day that goes by that you don't have opportunity to know something more about Jesus. There is not a day that goes by that you don't have available to you the resources whereby you can be growing in your understanding and the will of God for your life in Jesus Christ. Add that to your faith, to your virtue. Add knowledge. And then add self-control. In Titus chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible tells us that the gospel comes and the gospel teaches us to say no to ourselves. The gospel does. The gospel teaches me to say no to myself. And this idea of self-control means that you must be willing to think soberly about your life. Think soberly about your life. Listen, beloved, John Calvin reminded us that the human heart is an idol factory. Every person in here this morning is battling idolatry. We all have idols. Self-control is identifying my idols and then controlling my worship. That's what it is. Identifying the idols in my life and then controlling the fact that I don't worship them. It reminds me that marriage is a good thing, but it's not God. It reminds me that sports are a good thing, but they are not God. It reminds me that children are good things, but they are not God. It reminds me that sex is a good thing, but it is not God. Self-control is controlling my idols. In other words, I control myself. Myself doesn't control me. Or as the Bible says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, but I discipline my body. I beat my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. It is identifying my idols, and then it's controlling my worship. Add to your faith self-control, and to self-control steadfastness, perseverance. This is a common theme, beloved, in the New Testament and in the Christian life. Perseverance, or steadfastness, is the willingness to bear up under the pressure of difficult times. It is the willingness to bear up under the pressure of difficulties. And here, beloved, here, as in other places in the Bible, here, the Word of God anticipates trouble. Add to your faith the willingness to trust God, not only in good times, but more importantly, when those good times turn bad. And they do. They do. Good times turn bad. And perseverance is the willingness to trust God that eventually bad times will again turn good. You wait on Him. You wait on Him. Why? Can somebody tell me why? Why do we give up so easily? Why do we give up so quickly? Beloved, listen. Trials and troubles are sure to come. Do you hear me? They are coming. Someone is going to lose a loved one. It happens. It is is going to happen to you. You are going to lose someone dear to you. Somebody's going to lose a job. It's going to happen. Someone's going to lose a relationship. It's going to happen. A husband is going to disappoint. A wife is going to disappoint. Your parents are going to disappoint you, as well as your children. It's going to happen. And when these things happen, beloved, I want to say to you, don't give up on God. Don't stop believing. Don't stop being fruitful. You were made for this. You were born again for this. You have this. Psalm 30 and 5. Weeping may endure for a night. And beloved, joy is coming in the morning. Don't give up. Add to your faith. Listen to what Jim Valvano said. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't do it. Trust the Lord. The joy is coming in the morning. Don't stop believing. Add to your faith self-control, into self-control, steadfastness, into steadfastness, godliness. As we mentioned before in verse 3 when we were there, godliness is devotion, beloved. It is the devoted life. Godliness is not just a momentary activity, like, you know, going to church. I'm godly today because I went to church. Or I'm godly today because I prayed. Or I'm godly today because I'm singing a hymn. No, beloved, godliness is not a momentary activity, but it is being aware of the presence of God at all times. It is adding to your faith the daily thought that whatever you do in word or deed, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. That's what it means. It is adding the element of God's glory to your daily life. It is every day in every way realizing that I'm living my life before the face of God. You add that to your faith. Add that to your faith. Add that to your perseverance. That God is with me, that God sees me, that God knows me, that God hasn't left me. And to godliness, he says, add brotherly affection. Brotherly affection. Here is a common term used to express the relationships within a family. It is a familiar Greek word, right? Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia. It's Philadelphia. The next time you're up in Philly, say Philadelphia. Don't you do that. It reminds us that the church of Jesus Christ is a family. Add to your faith the reality that the church is your family. We are more than just associates, beloved. I mean, we're even more than just friends. We are brothers and sisters. We have a common parentage, God our Father. We have a common sibling, Jesus Christ our brother. We have a common home, the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a common name, Christian, and we have a common hope, eternal life. We are more than just associates. We are brothers and sisters. And as brothers and sisters, we may disagree. And as brothers and sisters, we may argue. And as brothers and sisters, we may even fight. God forbid. Siblings don't fight, do they? Pastor Phil, Sister Dunkerson, siblings don't fight, do they? Siblings may fight, but brothers and sisters don't stop loving. Brothers and sisters don't stop being brothers and sisters. Add that to your faith. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, let this Philadelphia, let this brotherly love and affection continue. Add that to your faith, that we are brothers and sisters, and we don't quit on each other. And lastly, to brotherly love, he says, the final supplement is love itself. And this is not Philadelphia. This is agape. It's not just love we have for one another, not just affection for the family, but this is the love of God that God has for the world. Add that to your faith. A love for the world, a kind and compassionate, a giving and gracious and merciful disposition toward your neighbor. Don't be mean. Be kind. Be loving toward all. God is love, the Bible tells us. And those who are God-like are loving too. Oh, beloved, I mean, we could have spent all morning on those supplements. What rich spiritual vitamins they are. They increase our strength. They add vitality to our faith. Because these are the supplements that will make you fruitful. Pay attention to them. Because this is God's desire for your life, that you and I would be fruitful. God doesn't want you ineffective. God doesn't want you unfruitful. God doesn't want you idle. Listen to what it says in verse 8. For if these qualities, right, these ingredients, these supplements, these vitamins are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. They keep you from being idle. In other words, these are what make for flavor in your faith. These make for an effective and fruitful faith. Effective and fruitful faith. And beloved, I want to say to you that there is not a person in here who has faith in Jesus Christ who cannot and should not be fruitful. The Lord, I don't care what you think, the Lord doesn't want you ineffective. The Lord doesn't want you fruitless. That you say to me, Pastor, I can't. I'm just not strong enough. Pastor, I'm just not spiritual enough. And I say to you, yes, you are. And yes, you can. My question is, have you made every effort? Have you made every effort. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in your life to produce fruit. Are you actively, therefore, seeking to be fruitful? That's why the Holy Spirit is in your life, so that you would bear fruit. Are you seeking to be fruitful? Are you making every effort? Or are you working contrary to the cause? You go to your boss at work and you say, I'm looking for a promotion. I want a promotion. Okay, let's see. You come to work late. You use all your sick days. And you're borrowing some from others. You take extended lunches. You talk on your cell phone. You use a company computer to go to dating sites. And you want a promotion. Have you made every effort? So it is with the Christian life. You say you want a closer walk with Jesus. You say you want a better witness. Are you making every effort? Sunday school starts at 9 o'clock. Are you making every effort? You come to church once a month, twice at best. And when you come, where are you serving? Are you making every effort? How is your giving? When you come, you leave immediately right after service. There is no fellowship, no mutual encouragement. There is no brotherly affection. Where is the brotherly affection? Are you making every effort? You say you want to grow. Are you adding to your faith? Beloved, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. And don't get the Bible wrong here. I nor the Bible is saying that you are not a Christian. But is your faith weak? Then you need to add some vitamins. You need to add some supplements. Is your faith bland? Then you need to spice it up a little bit. Spice it up with some spiritual ingredients. Add some spiritual paprika or whatever. You need a little something. It's going to taste just a little bit better. But here's the good news. If you haven't heard it already. There's good news, Pastor Phil. God doesn't require us to be fruitful without providing the seed and the instructions and the power for growth. When he says, add to your faith goodness, it is because he has planted the goodness in your heart. When he says, add to your faith steadfastness, it is because he has planted the steadfastness in you. When he says, add to your faith godliness and brotherly affection and love, it is because he has planted that in you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is a God, the Holy Spirit, who is working in you. And he says, if you would stop grieving it, you would blossom, and others would see it and glorify your God who is in heaven. Are you making every effort to be so?
you and I, beloved, have everything, everything that is necessary, that pertains to life and godliness and more in Christ Jesus. We just have to make every effort to use them. And let God be glorified. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.